Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our study of this glorious book in God's Word, the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, chapter 11. I have given you a little review at the top of the page. We were talking about the choices of faith. I have said that the difference between a person who is spiritually mature as a Christian and one who is still a spiritual baby is that one has made the right choices, the other has made the wrong choices. The right choices equates to choosing God's way, choosing those paths that would lead us into righteousness, hence we grow into Christ-likeness. The wrong path, the wrong choices, are those choices that lead us away from God and hence hinder our spiritual growth and maturity. Therefore, Hebrews 11, when it talks about the life of Moses, beginning with verse 23, it gives us a good example of the choices of faith. Faith chooses to accept certain things and it chooses to reject certain things. And faith, having the right kind of faith, enables us to make the right kind of choices. Now we saw first of all that faith accepts God's plan. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So God had a plan for Moses, and Satan had a plan for Moses. But by faith, Moses' parents chose God's plan, and therefore saved him. And he became the deliverer of Egypt, of Israel from Egypt. Also we see, secondly, that faith rejects the world's prestige. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected the prestige that went along with royalty in ancient Egypt, and this was a choice of faith. He realized that there were greater things to be gained from identifying with the people of God. But that was not a choice to be made by sight, but rather by faith. Faith also rejects the world's pleasures. Verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And also faith accepts the reproach of Christ. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Tonight, we shall see something else that faith rejects. And that is, faith rejects the world's fear. Faith rejects the world's fear. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Let us pause for prayer. Father, I look to your Spirit this night to give us the insights into your Word that you would want each of us to have. May your Spirit minister your Word to our lives in the very point of our need, that we as Christians might be built up in the faith, and having been built up, we might be a light to our darkened world, a light that shines forth your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith rejects the world's fear. Now, fear is a very destructive force in the Christian's life. Now, I'm not talking about a healthy respect, such as a fear of snakes. I'm not talking about common sense precautions, like locking your doors at night, or not going out alone late at night. I'm not talking about those kind of fears. Rather, I'm talking about a fear as the opposite of trust in God. Fear that is the opposite of faith in God. Now, this type of fear is one of Satan's ace trumps to use against us. Because this fear, that is the opposite of faith, the opposite of trust, moves us to do things contrary to the will and Word of God. This fear that amounts to unbelief has motivated some of the greatest men of the Old Testament Scriptures and New Testament to act in a way that is contrary to God's revealed will. Though they were great people of faith, when they allowed this fear to grip them, the fear of unbelief, the fear that's the opposite of trust in God, they acted in a way contrary to the will of God. Now let me give some examples to amplify what I'm talking about. First of all, take Abraham, who's known as the father of the faithful. We've already studied Abraham. He is listed in this chapter, 11 of Hebrews, as a great testimony of a man of faith. But look what happened to him over in Genesis chapter 12. Turn back in the Old Testament to Genesis chapter 12. When he allowed this type of fear to invade his life, look what he did. Genesis chapter 12. If you're visiting, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles. Beginning with verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came about, when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman." And she was around 75 years of age, and yet he knew she was beautiful. And so beautiful it might cost him his life. Verse 12, "And it will come about when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister so that it may go well with me because of you and that I may live on account of you." And it came about when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Now here you have a man who's called a man of faith in Scripture, acting in a way that is clearly against the Word of God. He lies about who his wife is and says she is his sister. Why? To protect his own hide. He exposes her to immorality with Pharaoh, so that he himself will be spared in his own life. He knows that if Pharaoh sees how beautiful she is and that she is his wife, Pharaoh would not be above killing Abraham so that he might have Sarah as his wife. So he says, "Tell him you're my sister." Now he lied. He was deceptive. Why? Because he had fear. And this fear was the opposite of faith. Look what God had just said to Abraham in the beginning of verse 12. It's chapter 12. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Now, Abraham had a promise from God. God told him that he would make a great nation out of him. Now, Abraham had enough sense to know there was no way he could be killed by this Pharaoh and still become a great nation, because he didn't have any children at this time, right? So if he'd exercised faith in God, he could have reasoned to himself, "God has promised me that I am going to be the father of a great nation. I don't have any children. Therefore, it's no way God will allow me to die in this situation. At least not until I've had a child, a son, to carry on and become a great nation." So he could have just believed God and done what was right. But instead, because of this fear, he acted in unbelief and he lied and he was deceptive. Now look over in Genesis chapter 20, because Abraham didn't learn, he did the same thing again. Look in Genesis chapter 20. Genesis 20, again there was a situation. It caused him to move down to the land of Negev. And Abraham reasoned in verse 2, and Abraham said to Sarah his wife, of Sarah's wife, she is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, took Sarah. In other words, again, he was afraid that his life was going to be put on the line, so he said, she's my sister. Now look again in verse 11. And Abraham said, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, they will kill me because of my wife. And so again, he lied because he was afraid for his life. He had the fear that faith rejects. But he didn't reject it. Now what compounds the situation is that Abraham even had more promises than he had earlier to rely on. Look at the promises that he had. For instance, in chapter 17, again, the first part of that chapter, God told him that he was going to give him an heir and that he would be a mighty nation. Look at the last part of verse 5. And I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. He didn't have the promised descendant at that point. And so he should have known God wasn't going to allow him to be killed. And then God even goes and promises to him that he will have a son by Sarah. And he even promises in chapter 18 that by this time next year, this son will be born. Verse 14 of chapter 18. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, God speaking, and Sarah shall have a son. Now he had this promise from God himself who visited him and gave him these promises. But he goes into the land of Negev and because of fear, not faith, but because of fear, he acts in a way contrary to the Word of God. And so this fear can be one of Satan's ace trumps. Take Aaron as another example. The brother of Moses who became the high priest, the first high priest of the nation of Israel. You remember when Moses had gone up on the mountain for 40 days and the people came to Aaron and they said, make us a God that we can worship him. We don't know what's happened to Moses. You make us a God that we can worship. And Aaron, because of fear, gave in to the people. Contrary to the word of God, gave in to the people. The commandment of God was clear, thou shalt make no idol of God, no image. But instead he gave in because of fear of the people and he made this golden calf. Here we have a leader of Egypt, a leader of Israel, doing this sin of making an idol to God because of fear. Remember the 10 spies that went in and spied out the promised land? 12 went in, they came out, 10 said, man, there are giants over there. Yes, it's a land full of milk and honey, but there are giants there. We cannot take it. There is no way we can take the land. And as a result of that, they turned the hearts of the people soft. They melted. And the people would not go in, though God promised them, you shall take the land. I have given it to you, and you can possess it, but you've got to go in. But because of fear, not belief, but because of fear, they became rebellious and stiff-necked against God. You remember Gideon and his army when God told him to assemble the people of Israel to go against the Midianites? And he assembled 32,000 soldiers came together of the people of Israel to go with him. And so God said, tell anybody who's afraid they can go back home. You know how many of that 32,000 went back home? 22,000. 22,000 of those people were afraid and left and went home. Now you can go to the New Testament and you can also see people of faith falling prey to this fear and because of it acting contrary to God's Word. You remember Peter and the disciples? Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew 14, beginning with verse 25, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat on the Sea of Galilee to go across to the other side. Now, they should have said, if Jesus has made us get in here, and he's told us to go across to the other side, he is going to take care of us. Anytime God places you in a situation, gives you a command of Scripture to do something, you can be assured if you will obey that, he will take care of you and of the results of it. Even if it costs you your life, you will die trusting God, and you will go into his presence a winner. And the Scripture goes on to say, beginning in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, that's when the storm had already come up very strongly, he, Jesus, came to them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Now, there was a tradition that if you saw a ghost on the sea, that was a sign you were going to die. And evidently, they must have believed this tradition or this superstition. And so when they saw this, saw Jesus approaching, they thought he was a ghost. And so therefore, they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "Oh, you have little faith, why do you doubt?" Well, what was Peter's problem? He got out on the water. That's more than most of us would do, right? Well, the problem was he saw the wind coming and he took his eyes off Jesus. And rather than rejecting fear, he accepted fear. Rather than having faith, he had fear when he saw that big wind. And evidently, since you can't actually see wind, he must have either seen a tremendous wave coming because of the wind, or he saw some tremendous cloud coming. But whatever he saw, it caused him to be afraid. And so when he took his eyes off Jesus, he got fearful. And when he got fearful, he began to sink. And here we have a great man of faith, because of fear, sinking into the water, taking his eyes off Jesus. Here we have the disciples. Jesus placed them in the boat. Rather than believing that he would take care of them, they became afraid and frightened when they saw what they thought was a ghost. And so you see, fear can cause even people of faith to act in a way contrary to God's Word. Now look over in John chapter 18. Here again we have Peter, as well as the other disciples, acting in fear and unbelief. John 18 concerns the arrest of Jesus as he was being tried and prepared for crucifixion. And you remember Peter's denial of Jesus in John 18, look in verse 17. And the slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I'm not." Now that was a lie. Well, why did he lie? Because he was afraid. "Man, they'll do the same thing to me if I'm not careful." Look in verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied and said, "I am not." Again he lied about it. And then look in verse 27. Peter therefore denied it again, and immediately a cock crowed. Three times he lied because he was afraid. And the other disciples don't stand in any better light because they all left Jesus when he got arrested. Well, they were afraid and took off. Only John followed along to see what would happen. And Peter went along and Peter denied him three times. So these men, because of fear, acted contrary to the Word of God. And it is this kind of fear that is very devastating in the Christian life. This kind of fear in your life and in my life is very devastating to our walk with God. It's three things that it will do to us in our lives. First of all, this fear binds us. It immobilizes us. Those spies came back
Only Caleb and Joshua said, we can go in. God will give us the victory. The other 10 said, those giants over there are too great. We're like grasshoppers. They were bound. They were immobilized from doing the will of God because they were afraid. It was like they were just afraid to move. Afraid to step out and be obedient to God and take the land. Fear can bind us from obeying God. For example, as a person at school, a person at work, or maybe somebody down the neighborhood, or somebody that's in a club that you're in, and you just know God wants you to witness to that person for Christ. But because you're afraid, it's just like you're just bound. You know, when you get ready to say something to them, it's like it just gets caught right here in your neck and just it won't come out. The fear binds you. It immobilizes you from doing what God wants you to do. I'm convinced we have some men in this church that are able to teach Sunday school classes. But because of fear, I just couldn't stand in front of that class. Because of fear, they are immobilized. They are bound from being obedient and fulfilling God's will for their life. Some people are immobilized from standing on the Word of God because they're afraid of what people are going to think or what's going to happen to them. And so this fear binds them. Some people are afraid to tithe. They're afraid, well, if I do that, I can't pay my bills. If I do that, I can't have the pleasures I want to have. If I do that, I'm going broke. And so because of fear, they're bound and immobilized from fulfilling God's will. So this kind of fear can bind us. Also, it can blind us to God's truth about the situation we're involved in. It can blind us. It's just like a wall comes down and we just cannot see the truth of the situation because of this fear. Take Abraham, for instance. Now, Abraham could not see that God would not allow him to die before he had the promised son, Isaac. He couldn't see that. Now, you and I can see that. And we say to ourselves, well, why didn't he just believe God? And he didn't have to lie about Sarah being his wife. God was not going to let anything happen to him. Well, why couldn't he just believe that? Because he was so afraid, he was blinded from seeing the truth of the situation from God's perspective. The spies were the same way. They could not see that God would not have delivered them from Egypt and taken them through the wilderness only to let them die in the promised land. I mean, that didn't make sense. Why would God go to all the trouble to do the 10 plagues, bring them out of Egypt, finally bring them into the promised land just to let them get killed and die? They couldn't see that. Any reasonable thinking person would say, well, now, if God's brought us this far, and he's had to do all these mighty miracles to get us this far, you think he's just going to drop us now and let us die? By no means. But because of this fear, they were blinded from seeing the truth of the situation. And now the same thing can happen to us, again, because of fear. In other words, rather than seeing the truth of the situation about a witnessing opportunity, and what is the truth of it? The truth of it is that it's God speaking through you to that person. You can't convince that person of anything. You can't convert them. God never said He wants you to convert them. He wants you simply to bear the truth to them. It's the Spirit of God that must work in their hearts. It's the Spirit of God that must bring the conversion in their lives. He just wants you to be faithful. It's not even you really doing it, but Christ speaking through you. And when you see the truth of the situation, then you can move out in faith. But fear keeps us from realizing this. When the person is too afraid to teach that class, he needs to realize that the truth of it is that God will enable him to teach that class. God has not called us to do anything He will not enable us to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But because of fear, they're blinded from seeing God's truth about that situation. Also, God will and does control the circumstances in our lives. And if we will give as God has directed in His Word, He will control our finances and our situation. If we're good stewards and follow His principles, He'll see to it that there is no lack for those who serve Him. He withholds no good thing from those who fear Him. But we need to see it from God's perspective. And fear keeps us from doing this. It blinds us. The third thing fear does It leads us into sin. It leads us into sin. Because we do not believe God, we do not obey God. Because Abraham did not believe God, he disobeyed by lying about Sarah. Because we do not believe God, we do not obey God and teach that class that He's talked to us about. Bear witness to this person that He's placed on our heart. And the Bible says, to him who knows what is right and does not do it, to him it is sin. Many of the sins of omission, in other words, things we should be doing that we are not doing, that's a sin of omission, comes because of this fear. It immobilizes us and blinds us and leads us into sin because we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not stepping out and being obedient to His Word. Now, the faith that Moses had and the faith that God desires for us is a faith that rejects this fear. It rejects it. Now, look over in Exodus chapter 2 again. Exodus chapter 2. Because Moses fled Egypt two times, not just once. He fled Egypt twice. Chapter 2 gives us the first time he left Egypt. And you see if he left Egypt this time afraid or not afraid. Exodus 2, look in verses 14 and 15. That was when, you remember, Moses saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew, and he struck the Egyptian and killed him. The next day he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he went in to stop them. And we have these words in verses 14 and 15. And he said, "Who made you a prince or judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was filled with faith. He was afraid. And said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh. Why? Because he was afraid. He left Egypt out of fear. But the next time Moses left Egypt, he left, as the Scripture says, not fearing the anger, the wrath of the king. What's the difference? What happened between the first time when he fled in fear and the second time when he left not afraid of the king? What happened in between was the burning bush. What happened in between was he met God. Look at what Hebrews chapter 11 says. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And then the reason he didn't fear. For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He saw God, though God be unseen. No man has ever seen the face of God. Yet Moses used to converse with God. The Scripture says, as one man converses with another. God said, I don't speak to Moses in visions like I do others, but I speak to him face to face. Not meaning that he beheld the full manifestation and glory of God, but he knew enough of God that he lived as one who had seen the unseen. Why? Because he kept his eyes on Jesus. He endured. That meant he was steadfast. That's probably referring to the many times he went back in Pharaoh's presence after each of the plagues. You ever thought about how much courage that took? Because any time he went back, Pharaoh could have just given the word and Moses would have been executed on the spot. And every plague, as it got worse and worse, he had to go back into Pharaoh's presence again and say, "Let them go, and if you don't, God's going to do so and so." That took faith. That took courage. But he wasn't afraid of the king's anger. Because he knew God would take care of him. He had the faith that rejects the world's fear. He rejected the fear of the world and knew that God would take care of him because he had his eyes on God. He fixed his eyes on the God of Israel, Yahweh. As we tie this in with our life, turn to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Look in verses 1 and 2. Because if you and I are going to overcome fear, if we're going to reject this fear and walk in faith, the key to it is fixing our eyes on Jesus. We must endure as one who sees the unseen. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance a race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You want to stand against the assaults of Satan and against the assaults of the world and not fear? Then fix your eyes on Jesus. And look what he endured, what he went through. And you'll not grow weary, you'll not grow faint, you'll not lose heart as you keep your eyes on Jesus. If Peter had simply kept his eyes on Jesus, he would not have begun to sink. When he took his eyes off and put it on the problem, the wind, he got fearful. You and I must keep our eyes on Jesus, not the problem, not the situation that would want us to be fearful, but keep them on Jesus. And when we do this, then we can walk in faith and reject the world's fear. You remember David? He went to visit his brothers who were serving in Saul's army. A young fellow. His dad sent him to take him some food, and he went, and his brothers were trembling out of fear because of the giant Goliath. Goliath challenged any man of Israel to come out and face him. And they were all cowards. They were all fearful to go out. Goliath would come out and he would taunt the armies of God. He would taunt the God of Israel. He would blaspheme him. And all those men of Israel were too cowardly to go out and face him. Why? Because fear had gripped their heart. But this one little boy, David, young man, had his eyes on God. Because of that, he was not afraid of Goliath. And he went out and said, "The battle is the Lord's. This day, God shall deliver you into my hands." He was not relying on his own strength. He knew the key, and it was God. And because his eyes were on God, he rejected the fear of the world. And he gained the victory for the people of God. You and I must move out in faith, not in fear. And maybe you're facing a situation in your life, even tonight, that you've been tempted to be fearful about it. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at home, maybe it's at school. God's word to you is, don't fear, but walk in faith. Look to Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray. Father, we look to You as our sovereign God, to accomplish Your will in our life, to minister this word to us where we would be tempted to be fearful. May we by faith reject that fear and trust You. Keeping our eyes upon Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of response this night is hymn number 178. Stand as we sing. If you need to make a visible response tonight to something God's doing in your life, I'll be down front and you feel free to step out. If you'd like to talk to me about your relationship to God, I'll be glad to talk with you. If you have any other questions or if you just want to come and pray, you be obedient to God as we stand and sing.